Our Bible reading is taken from Joshua chapter 10, beginning at the first verse, and can be found on page 185 in the Pew Bible. As soon as Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai and all its men and warriors. So Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jabesh, to Shaphia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Ebgon, saying, "Come to me and help me. Let me strike against Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel." Then the five kings of the Ammonites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies, and encamped against Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into panic before Israel. He struck them with great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent to Beth Horon and struck them with Amish and Machaketh. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down the ascent into Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Ashes, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones and the sons of Israel killed with the sword. At that time Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Gashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like this before or since, when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, up to the camp at Gilgal. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I'm on, yes?
Yep, good morning. It's good to be here. Actually, it's a privilege to be here this morning at the commissioning of Nevin. Let's pray as we turn to that reading. A big thank you for reading all them big words. Thank you, thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, I pray now as we turn to it, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would make it live in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last number of weeks here, you've been journeying through the book of Joshua. Last week, Stuart was in Joshua 9. And then in Joshua 9, you discovered how the Gideonites deceived Joshua. They deceived Joshua into making this treaty with him. And when we get to chapter 10, the story's totally changed because now the Gideonites are in trouble. The five Amorite kings they've heard that there's this treaty between Joshua and the Gideonites, and it puts fear in them. So they decide they'll come together and they'll attack the Gideonites. And that's what's happening at the start of this passage. And who do the Gideonites go to help, look to help for? But Joshua. Now just imagine for a moment. Put yourself in the situation where someone has deceived you. They've been deceitful to you. They've lied to you. This is where Joshua's at. What would your response be? I think it was me. I'd say, well, let them get what they deserve. They deceived me, so this is the result of it. Maybe some of us might even spiritualize it and say, well, the Lord's doing this, so just let them go. But Joshua made a treaty. And Joshua's a man of integrity. So he gathers his whole army together. His best fighting men, we're told. And they actually march through the night to take on these five kings. And as Joshua goes, he knows that the Lord's with him. We're told, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. So off Joshua goes. And then in the middle of this, we get this remarkable story of the sun standing still. Of a day been longer than what a day usually is. Nearly a full day. Now, I wasn't that great at school, but I know enough to know that the sun doesn't actually move. It's the earth that goes around the sun. I'm right now, am I? Yeah. So the sun doesn't actually move. But then, of course, we know that. But then we talk about the sun rising and the sun setting. So we're using the language. We use the language that Joshua used. When I was reading about it this week, you know, there's all these different theories of what was happening. You know, people have spent hours and maybe days trying to figure this all out. Some saying, well, you know, the earth moved a wee bit slower, or the sun and the earth moved together. There's all these different theories that people have come up with. But the one that made me smile was the one that somebody's come up with, and it sounds a very simple theory that, well, Joshua, he marched all night. It was a hard battle. He was tired, so he just thought it was a long day. I could understand that. But what happened here, what we read about in this passage, is a miracle. You know, God who created the world, who created the universe, who created you and me, he can do that. He can do that. It was just a miracle. We're told, and in a sense, this miracle come from the heart of Joshua. He said, there's never been a day like it before or a day since when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. But the battle takes a bit longer, and it seems Joshua just doesn't get through it the way that he should. Because the Lord had to intervene again. There's another miracle. Hailstones. These hailstones come, we're told, as they fled, this is the Amorite kings, before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azarhath, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of Israel. So the Lord actually killed more of them, even though Joshua had this longer day. You know, we can all have theories about the sun, whether it moves or doesn't move, and so on and so forth. But here we see the miraculous nature of God at work. And I think to understand the miracle, to believe it to be a miracle, is actually the easiest way. It's the simplest way to understand what's happening here. So this morning, who here believes in miracles? Nearly everyone, Simon. Nearly. The thing is this morning, you've all, or practically all of you, have seen a miracle of the Lord. And actually, quite a few of you are that miracle, because the greatest miracle that the Lord can ever do is transform a broken, wayward, rebellious person, rebellious heart, and bring them to himself. It's the greatest miracle that God can do. And there's many of you here today, that miracle has actually happened in your heart. You've come to the foot of the cross. And through repentance, God by his Holy Spirit has come into your life and you have become a new creation. It is the greatest miracle. It's far greater than the sun shining longer than it should. You know, when I first come to faith, and oh, that's a lot of years now, there's a few individuals in Kilkeel come up with a saying. I come from Kilkeel, in case you don't know. And I'm not going to name who the individuals were this morning. My rector at that time was the bishop, by the way. Anyway, there was this phrase that came up. And it was this: if the Lord can save George Newell, he can save anyone. I wasn't a very godly person before I had an encounter with the Lord one night in my van. And this phrase, well, if the Lord can save George Newell, he can save anyone. And you know, the Lord can save anyone. Because of that promise that whoever comes, anyone that comes to the foot of the cross, the Lord will save them. And I think, Nevin and Lorraine, I heard some of your story a week and a half ago on your first commissioning. And I think you would rightly say it's a miracle that you're here today. It's a miracle that you've come to faith. But actually, looking back, if I had said to you 2.5 years ago that you would be here today, that in a number of months' time that you'd be going to lead a church plant in Warren Point, you would have said that is a miracle. I remember when Nevin first started the course, he was a bit nervous. He was a bit unsure. He was lacking confidence. I remember he come, in the evangelist training course, we meet about every 4 or 5 weeks on a Saturday. And Nevin come through the door one day and he had the big module underneath his arm. George, I can't do this. I don't know where I'm at. How do I do all this? The thing is, the one who called Nevin and the one who called us is faithful. And he will do it. And he's done that in your life so far, Nevin. And as you leave here in a few months' time, he will continue to do that. You know, in our story this morning, the sun stood still, or darkness didn't appear when it should have, given Joshua time. You know, there's another part, actually two places in Scripture where the opposite happens. Where darkness comes. The one I want to look at is the story of the cross. We read in Luke 23, now when it was about noon, the darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining. A gloomy darkness fell over the land as Jesus was nailed to the cross. It wasn't meant to be dark. But it became like night. It became dark. As Jesus hung on the cross and took your sin and took mine, as the one who is now the light of the world hung on the cross, darkness fell across the land. You know, there's loads of sermons in that, and we haven't got time this morning. But I just want to throw this out today. I think it's symbolic of a life without Christ. Spiritual darkness. A life without Christ means we're walking in spiritual darkness. A world without Christ means it's a world in spiritual darkness. But actually, Jesus would defeat the darkness. The grave wouldn't hold him. The light of the world would rise on the third day, opening up a door for each and every one of us, for everyone to move from that place of darkness into his glorious light. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 2 writes this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's the great news of the gospel. That's the great news of the gospel. No matter who we are, no matter what's been going on in our lives, through the cross, with sins forgiven, we move from darkness into glorious light. And I say Jesus is the only one that can do that. And we said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one can come to the Father but by me. He is the only one. And Nevin, you've been called as an evangelist. You're anointed as an evangelist. And you will share the good news because I know you're already doing it. And that's what you will do. And that's the calling on your life. And never, ever forget that. And we're not all called like Nevin. We're not all called as an evangelist, but we all are called to share the gospel. It's great you're going out around the doors. I really do pray there's opportunities in them doors to speak about Jesus. We may not be all called as evangelists, but we all are called to share the good news. And I'll just go on the back of what the bishop says. If there's anyone here and you sense a calling in your life as an evangelist, I would love to speak to you. There has to be someone here or someone online. There has to be. You know, the bishop has a vision that there'll be a diocesan evangelist in every parish. Well, you've won for a couple of months and then you've lost them, Simon. So there has to be someone else. There has to be someone else. You know, we can come up with so many reasons not to answer the Lord's call in our lives. We can come up with so many reasons, so many excuses, some of them that sound really logical. You know, whether it's that call to give your life to Jesus, well, there's that call to say yes to him. We can come up with all these different reasons. Why not? Or a call, the Lord calling you into a new ministry, whether it's youth work or children's work or something within the church, you can come up with excuses. Well, yes, but I can't do this and I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to do this. Maybe a call to ordained ministry this morning. Oh, but I wouldn't be able to do the study and I couldn't leave and take my family down there, whatever it may be. We come up with loads of excuses, but folks, the one who called us is faithful, and he is able. You know, many years ago, how much time have we got, Simon? A wee bit. All right, we're all right. Many years ago, when the Lord was calling me into ministry, I'm a church army evangelist. And at that time, there was a selection conference, and you had to go to Sheffield for it. And they give you the list of all these things that you had to do and all these interviews. But in the middle of it all, there was an English exam. I left school when I was 15. I'm rubbish at English. I have since discovered I'm dyslexic, but apart from that, I'm rubbish at English. And I seen this, and this scared the life out of me. If any reason for not going, that was it. And I thought, what am I going to do? There's a spelling test in the middle of it. I'm useless at spelling. And what I thought it would do, in my wisdom, this is the caliber of the person that's preaching to you this morning, I thought, I went and got the Oxford Dictionary, you know, the big thick one. And I opened it randomly and I put my finger down, and if there's a word that I didn't know, I learned to spell it. I'd done that 3 times. It took the 3rd time to realize, George, you're never going to learn all them. I'm just got to trust if the Lord's in it, the Lord's in it. And if I don't pass the English exam, I don't pass it. And we went to the weekend, folks. Went to the weekend and through the different things, and it come to the English exam. And you had to write some sort of a story. I don't know what that was like. But it come to the spelling bit. And there was 2 paragraphs. And there was 10 words that you had to spell. They were missing in the sentences. But they give you the wee lines underneath, so at least you knew how many letters was in the word you're supposed to be able to spell. There were 7 of the words I knew. And the other 3 that I thought I randomly picked out of the Oxford Dictionary. How many words is in the Oxford Dictionary? Three words that I randomly thought that I'd picked out were the three words that I didn't know that was on that. For the first time, and the only time probably, I got 100%. Folks, the Lord who calls us is able. He's a God of the miraculous. Whatever you may have in front of you, and you think that is impossible, God is God of the impossible. If you sense the Lord calling you in any way, calling you to himself, calling you into ministry, calling you to wherever, if the Lord is calling you, he will make it happen. If he can stop the sun in the sky and give George Newell to get 100% on the spelling test, if he can wipe out an army with hailstones, folks, he can do it. We just need to be like Joshua. We just need to trust him. And when we trust him, that's when we see the miraculous at work. Why? Because he loves us. Because he's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy and he loves us. And he took the darkness of our lives, our sin on himself on the cross, so that we might shine for him. So that others may discover the glorious truth of the gospel. Please stand. And let's all close our eyes just for a moment or two. Whether we're in the building here or whether we're listening online, what's the Lord been saying to you this morning? What maybe are the logical reasons or excuses that stops you walking into all that the Lord has for you? And folks, we all have them. We all have them. I wonder, is there someone here today, whether here or online, and you've been making excuses not to give your life to Jesus? Well, folks, this morning I'd love to give you the opportunity to say yes to him. And whatever reason you have for not doing that, the one who called you is faithful and he will do it. So if you want to give your life to the Lord this morning, you want to know life in all its fullness, I'm going to say a very simple prayer. I'm going to ask you, would you, in the quietness of your heart, would you pray it after me? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I've done in my life, for going my own way and not following you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that you offer me new life, that you, the light of the world, will come and shine your light into my darkness. Please now, come into my life by your Holy Spirit, enabling me to be the person that you've called me to be. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stay in that attitude of prayer, folks. Pray for others this morning, and whether it's the Lord's got a call in your life, or maybe you're in that place where you need a miracle. You need to know that the Lord is there. Lord, I pray, and by your Spirit, Lord, we would know your presence now. We would have faith to believe that you're a God who makes the impossible possible. Just come, Lord, in these moments. And Lord, would you give each and every one of us, Lord, the courage to step into all that you have for us. So, Spirit of the living God, would you fall afresh upon us now. Lord, for those that have said yes to you this morning, Lord, would you fill them by your Holy Spirit? Thank you that God, when you call us, you are faithful. And Lord, you will bring it into being. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.